أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والعاقبة للمتقين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله عز وجل في كتابه العزيز: وتعاونوا على البر والتقوى ولا تعاونوا على الإثم والعدوان. صدق الله العظيم. اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم وصل عليه. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا سيدي يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله. Infinite praise, glory and perfection is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And salutations be upon the noble messenger, the coolness of our eyes, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yesterday, alhamdulillah, we discussed in quite a lot of detail the importance of one crucial ingredient within our family lives, which is the ingredient of mercy. And we also discussed a very important aspect that is quite lost within our families, which is the aspect of mushawara, which basically means to consult with each other. And we learned from the various ahadith of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam how the wives of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasalam, and not just one but the multiple wives of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, they would feel secure enough and confident enough to argue and to debate and to have an opinion against the opinion of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasalam. And this only illustrates the beauty of a family dynamic. It illustrates the support and the structure within a family and a household, where the husband doesn't create an environment where he makes himself look like that it is his way or the highway. No, a relationship and a family is based on mutual consent. It is based upon mutual agreement between the spouses, that they both agree or disagree and they both give or take. And this is how a relationship actually is. And then we also learn from the hadith of Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala, and everybody enjoyed that hadith as well. But nevertheless, everything that we've discussed so far all points towards one very important aspect, which is the family is the center or the epicenter of human civilization. Just like your heart is crucial for your existence. Without your heart, you will not be here, you will not be sitting here, you will not be able to survive without a heart. And similarly, a car needs an engine. Without the engine, the car will not run. And for a society to function correctly, at the epicenter for every society, there must be healthy, organic, functioning families, where the husband listens to the wife and he respects her and he does not dictate. And similarly, she respects him, and then they work together. And there's a working relationship between the siblings, or the working relationship between the children as well, that they communicate with each other and not live on these isolated worlds, within these isolated worlds where nobody knows what's going on in the life of each other. So these are the things that we discussed yesterday, and inshallahul aziz, today we will continue with just looking at another aspect of how we can make our families more functional, how we can make them more successful, and in essence, how we can bring about a portion of heaven within our homes. Because remember, from the introduction, we learned that the purpose of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creating families was that so that you can find sukoon. That you can find sukoon within your homes. But this is the one thing that is missing within all of our families, that we don't have sukoon within our homes. When the wife comes, when the husband comes, when the children come, they don't want to talk to each other and they say, be quiet, don't talk to me, I'm watching the TV. Be quiet, don't do this, I'm eating, or I'm reading the newspaper, or I'm doing this, or I'm doing that. We have no sukoon left within our homes. And when the sukoon is removed from the home, then you will not find sukoon anywhere else. You can only find sukoon in the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in ibadat. And the second place where you can find sukoon, that place of stability and tranquility and serenity, is within your home. So these are very important things for us to consider, for us to understand, and also for us to act upon. So everything that I share with you, make sure that you apply these. And the five things that I mentioned at the beginning, which we need to do, which is pray with our family members. And the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ was what? To pray his fard, with the jama'ah within the masjid, but he would always pray his sunnahs and the nawafil with his family members. Similarly, in the month of Ramadan, this is the month of family time. This is the month where you are at home, more or less. So you need to make sure that you recite the Qur'an with your family members. You do your zikr azkar with your family members together. You do your du'as together with your family members. And you do your iftaris together, because this will heal the wounds and remove the distances that are between us. So inshallah, we continue with a very important aspect of family relationships today, which is that of partnerships. And partnerships are crucial to any endeavor. To any successful business, you need good partners. And those people who are in the business line, they will know and understand this. And those businesses which are multinational and are hugely successful, they have a parent company. So you have Coca-Cola, who is a parent company, and you have so many different subsidiaries. Similarly, you have Unilever, you have Kellogg's, you have various other P&G parent companies, and then they have their infants, you could almost say, their children, their bachi, who are going out and doing everything. But within all of these multinational companies, and you see that all of the children of the parents, they always go back to the parent, and they have the protection of the parent, they have the guidance of that parent, and they have the support of that parent as well. So even though they are there and they're going about and doing their own individual things, they are still connected to a family. And this is what I keep mentioning to everybody, that don't just think that it is you, Mayagan, and nobody else matters. You are connected to every single person, whether immediately through your blood, whether ideologically, whether spiritually, socially, with your neighbors, with your community, with society. We are all interconnected, and we need to appreciate all of these connections with each other and work with each other. Because when partnerships fail, that is when you see, you know, bankruptcy taking place in society, and that is when you see the fall of the economy and the society as well, and people struggling. But if partnerships are successful and you mutually consult with each other and you agree with each other and you work with each other, then that parent and that company will continue, and that family will continue to grow. So this is very important for us to understand today, inshallah al-Aziz, in this lecture, the importance of partnerships and the importance of how you actually make good partnerships with each other as well. So we also discussed a few days ago that there is an idealistic family. And the idealistic family in our minds, or especially the dramas that we watch on TV, is a utopian family where there's no problems whatsoever. Koi parishani ni, koi masla ni. Everybody's happy, everybody's smiling, and you know, nobody's fighting. There's no problems whatsoever. But the thing is, this does not exist. This does not exist, and the only place where this will exist is in Jannah. So for that we have to die, we have to go to our graves, we have to be resurrected. So up until that time, there's no such thing as an idealistic family. Keep this in your mind. Because when we go into marriages, when we go into families, we expect this perfect family. The wife does everything, she looks pretty, she cooks perfectly, she irons, she does this. The husband is always on time and he's successful and he has this. The children are farma bardar and they're obedient and they do this and they're successful. This doesn't really exist. These are ideals that we try to achieve within our lives, but they don't really exist. And we learned this very clearly from the Quran and from the families of the Prophet ﷺ, that, you know, their families, they were not ideal. They had their problems, they had their ups and they had their downs, they had their arguments in the life of the Prophet ﷺ with his wives, with his children. Similarly, with the other prophets as well, we look at Nuh alayhi salam, we look at Idris, we look at Yahya, we look at Zakariya, we look at Musa alayhi salam and his mother and his daughter, we look at Sayyidah Maryam. All of these things, they have their ups and downs, the good and the bad, but they constantly are doing what? They are staying with each other and they are working in tandem with each other, i.e. they have this partnership that is going on. So in order for a family to be successful, the first merger, as they say, the merger needs to be successful. If the merger is solid, then the family will also be solid as well. And what is the merger? The merger is that of the spouses, the mother and the father, i.e. the husband and the wife. So individually you may be successful, and the wife may be successful as well. But when you come together, you both need to work with your strengths. You will realize that she has a particular failing, she has a particular shortcoming, he has a particular failing or shortcoming. But when you merge together and you become one parent company or one big company, then you need to work together and use each other's strength and not look at each other's weaknesses. But if you start looking at each other's weaknesses, that is when the family structure or the parent company starts to shake. And then that will have a ripple effect and a knock-on effect onto the children as well, because there's no stability within that partnership. So that stability is very, very important, and it starts with the husband and with the wife. So that's the idealistic family that we have in our minds. And how to achieve that idealistic family? We have to work with good partners, and you have to have good partners within your lives. So we can't have the idealistic family, but we can only really and truly achieve the realistic family. And the realistic family is that kabhi khushi kabhi gham, as you say, as you know how it goes. So sometimes you'll have your ups and sometimes you have your down, but as long as both partners are trying to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is a very important thing to understand, as long as both partners are trying to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, their partnership will remain successful. When you try to please yourself, your desires, your whims, your chahate, your khwahishe, then that is when you overlook your partner. And then she will overlook you, or it'll work the other way around, because you're not trying to do what? Please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But when you are both trying to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will both make the relationship work, because you're doing it for the greater good and not for the personal good. So in order for your relationship and your partnership to be successful, you need to be pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that you come together not for her wealth, not for her property, not for her status, or the other way around. You come together to merge together, to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that she strengthens you, you strengthen her, and you both have the same goal and the same objective. But if you have different goals, then what will happen to the company? One will go towards this side, will go towards that side, but you're not working towards the same goal. So you need to be realistic when you're marrying, and look at the ideals that you want to find in your wife, and look at the ideals that you want to find in your husband, and know that you are doing this for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So all families, in order for them to be successful, as we mentioned, they need to have a successful partnership, but their family life needs to be very, very dynamic, and it needs to be very, very coherent. What does dynamic basically mean? That you need to be adapting to different circumstances or different scenarios. When you're just husband and wife, it's easy to get along. But when children come into the equation, or when a mortgage comes into the equation, when rishtadari come into the equation, then things get a bit more difficult and tipsy-turvy. So a family and a parents, they need to be extremely dynamic in order for them to carry through the waves of life. They need to be very, very dynamic in their approach to life, and they need to be cohesive. Cohesive basically means they need to work very, very closely and intimately together as well. One of my teachers, they mentioned that, you know, marriage is like two hands. If one hand is injured or wounded, or it has something on there, it cannot clean itself, it cannot heal itself, it cannot protect itself. You need the other hand to protect it, to clean it, to heal it, to support it. And this is what family is. This is what a relationship is as well. That don't just think that the man will do everything. The woman needs to work with the man, and the man needs to work with the women. When they work together cohesively as one unit, then they will bring about a successful family. Our children will be successful as well. So in your working, in your upbringing, in your nurturing, in your financial capability, in your discipline, in your support, in your emotional and physical support, don't just think that the husband's role is this, jao kamai karo, and leave everything else to the wife. It doesn't work like that. It has to be a mutual cooperation in order for that family to be successful. So you need to work together. Don't just think that, you know, you have to, this is my role and I'm not going to overstep my role. Kam karna, do the shopping, and that's about it. No, it doesn't work like that. You have to do a lot more. You have to do a lot more. And similarly for the wife as well, in order for their partnership and for their family to be successful, they have to intermingle their responsibilities. And this is a very important thing. I personally, I can share with you, I do the morning nappy and I do the night nappy. And those are the two nappies that I do, and I do the rest of the clean during the day as well. But many of our, you know, especially Asian parents, they don't even look at the nappies. Well, whoa, you know, that's, I can't go there, that's it, you know, it's too much for me. But you have to give and take. At the end of the day, if the father is always out and working, then the mother is overcompensating emotionally and physically. So he needs to come home and he needs to do as much as he can as well, emotionally and physically, to compensate for that loss which, you know, the child is not receiving. So it's very important for you to ask yourself, what are the things that I do? What are the things that I should be doing? And we learn from the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam that he never specified, this is your role and this is my role. No. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, within his home, he would milk the goat. He would clean up. He would wash the dishes. He would take out the rubbish. He would do every single thing within the home. And then he did this with his wife as well. And not just say, tu kar, you know, main busy aga, today such and such sahabi did this to me and that to me, main bada parshan aga, leave me alone. No, they work together for the betterment of the family unit. And this is why we see that they brought up such beautiful children, like the Sayyidah Fatima al-Zahra radiallahu ta'ala anha and other daughters of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. So from the beginning, in order for your family to be successful, partnership is crucial, and partnership means 50-50, but it also means giving 100% to everything that you have. 50-50 partnership is basically when you divorce, the wife gets 50, you get 50. That's the partnership, that's something different. But when you're in a partnership, when you're together and you're married, it's not 50-50, it's 100%. You give 100%, she gives 100%. 50-50 is much later down in your life if that happens. But don't think like that. This is very important to change our mind and to change how we behave. So it's very important for us to understand all of these things as well. So those fathers who are overworking, and they're doing it for the right reasons, they're going out and they're working so that they can provide for their family, for their children, a good, successful future for all of them, but at the same time they are also lacking in the emotional support and in the physical support as well. So they need to realize that this is a part of their duty and part of their responsibility as well. And if you can, have a simple conversation with your children over the phone, which is very, very easy. Take out time from your work life and go out for a picnic, go out for a meal, go out for the dinner, because this is a very important aspect of your relationship as well. Don't just leave all the hugs and the kisses to your wife. You know, she gives all the hugs and she gives all the kisses to the children. You have to do that as well. And we've learned this again and again. Until you do not express your emotions and your feelings towards your children, they can't read your mind. They're not psychics. They don't have ilm ghaib about how the father feels, how the mother feels. You have to express your emotions. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again and again in the Quran mentions, لِتَعَارَفُوا, we made you into males and females, nations and tribes, so that you can get to know each other. Not to live within your home and don't know what's going on in the life of your wife or your children or your daughter or your son. No, get to know each other. Get to know each other, and this is very, very important. So express your love. Stand up for your daughter, and then she will in turn stand up for you. When you share your feelings and emotions with them, when a difficult time comes in their lives, they will come to you first, because they'll say, wait a minute, you know, my father will understand, my mother will understand, because they kiss me, they hug me, they share with me their own childhood, they share with me their own ups and downs, so I will share with them. This is I'm having a difficulty in my finance, I'm a difficulty with a boyfriend or a girlfriend, or whatever it is, they will have the confidence and the trust to come and approach you rather than go and share that with somebody else. And by the time you find out, it's too little, too late. So this is why it's very important that partnership, don't just leave the responsibility to your wife and say, you tell her about the bees and what happens and how children get pregnant and what happens with the menstrual cycle. No, you're a unit. You need to work together. And within the Islamic Sunnah, the tradition is that as a family, you get together. Yes, it made me a bit, you know, taboo in your culture. You may feel slightly ashamed about talking about something, but this is something which is natural. Allah Ta'ala talks about menstrual cycles. He talks about periods. He talks about postnatal bleeding. He talks about all of these things within the Quran. Why are you shying away? When you shy away from your child, then your child will shy away from you, and that will only increase the distance between you. And if we are not there with each other emotionally, then what's the point of being there for somebody physically or financially? There's no point. Robots can do that. Ghair can do that for your family. But you need to be there emotionally. Your children need emotions more from you than your wealth, than your finance, or anything like that. So this is a very important thing that you need to discuss with your children. Yes, in a delicate manner, in an appropriate manner. But it just goes to show how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't shy away from these things. And Allah ta'ala is teaching us that you need to interact with your children on an emotional level, which is very important. The first few years of a child, the bond is absolutely crucial. But if you do not bond with your child, you do not pick them up, you do not kiss them, you do not hug them, you do not take care of them and change their nappies, then you're not going to really truly bond with them. And then when they're older, jo marzi karnai kar, you know, because you never really bonded with your child. But if you truly bond with your child, then every single thing that they do, it will affect you, because you are connected with them spiritually and physically and emotionally as well. So sharing your love, and expressing your love, and not just for the mother, but for the father equally, is absolutely crucial for a successful partnership and for a successful family as well. So these are things which we really, really need to work upon. And a beautiful metaphor that I came across was that marriage, and especially a partnership, is like a tree. If you do not water the tree, and if you do not take care of the tree, then that tree will not grow. Similarly for a plant or anything else, and it will neither produce any fruits, or those fruits that will benefit you. So you need to really take care of your roots, and you need to make sure that you are constantly watering your tree as well. So you're there for your wife, you're there for your husband, and you're there constantly for your children, and you're embracing each other. Look at the roots of a tree, how they interlock and interweave with each other again and again, and how close the circles are on a tree trunk again and again. This is how you need to be close and intimate with your children, not just physically, not just by giving them orders, make it and that's it, but emotionally as well. You need to be there, and intellectually as well. So these are very, very important things as well. So overall, what we've learned today in terms of the partnership is that the role of the family, especially the mother and the father, is crucial, and that structure, the parent structure, needs to be very, very strong in order for it to have a knock-on effect onto the children as well. But if the parent rishta is weak, then the children's rishta will also become weak as well. And coming back to the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam in relation to the month of Ramadan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as you know, has given us the month of mercy, the month of rahmah, and the month of emancipation within this month of Ramadan. The first 10 days, the days of rahmah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a sahih hadith of the Prophet alayhi wa sallam mentioned that he boasts, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah azza wa jal himself, he boasts in front of the angels that, look, you know, because of my mercy, all of these people are coming together. All of these people are coming together. But in spite of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the month of Ramadan, if you're not getting closer to your family, to your mother, to your father, to your siblings, to your brothers and sisters, then you are wasting this opportunity. And you are actually, you know, going further and further away from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So how would you want to be seen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as the one who rejects the mercy of Allah and rejects the ties and moves away from the ties that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created, or the one who embraces the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and merciful means that you overlook the problems and the shortcomings, the ups and downs, and you still are there closely near and dear to your family members and to your children as well? So one example that I want to share with you all, hopefully inshallah al-aziz, you'll understand what the importance of partnership and the importance of communication. Imagine there's one family, one unit, mother and father and children on one island, and they're all living and they're all very, very blissful, they're all very, very happy, and they're enjoying their lives. But a thunderstorm comes or an earthquake comes, and then the island separates into three different portions. So the children go onto one island, the parents go onto another island, and the grandparents go onto another island. At the beginning, the children are very, very happy. And the reason why they are happy is because, yes, finally they get some freedom. They get some freedom and they start to enjoy their freedom. Yes, I don't have to look over my shoulder. Mom and dad can't tell me what to do or what to say or how to behave anymore. And similarly, the parents are like, shukr hai jaan chutti na, and we can finally enjoy our lives a little bit. But then over time, gradually, the children will start to yearn for the parents again. Why? Because their parents provided them with that safety, with that net, with that nurturing, with that undivided attention, and also without judging them as well. This is what some of the things that the children will start to forget and start to yearn for from their parents. But because they're further and further away from each other and they're on their own little islands, the children are thinking, well, I'm going to wait till my parents come to me. And the parents are thinking, itni din hoge, itni mahine hoge, and the children haven't come, why should we go asivar day again? They should come to us. The parents want the love and the affection and the proximity of the children, and the children also want the love and the affection of the parents as well. But because they're stubborn and they're on their own little islands, they won't actually take that first step. And as a result of that, they remain on their island and they drift further and further away. And this is what happens when we do not communicate with each other. We come home. And we don't communicate with each other. We don't share our feelings, our anger, our, you know, frustration, our happiness, our joy. And we expect our children to share it with us. They don't do it with us, we don't do it with them. So they stay quiet and we stay quiet. And they continue to stay quiet, we continue to stay quiet as well, until nobody talks anymore. At the beginning, everybody used to come together and talk
you know, when they're eating their meal, and then the TV comes into play and everybody starts watching the TV and they stop talking. And then after the program is finished, the people just pick up their plates and they go away and they stop communicating. And within their home, instead of talking to each other face to face, they leave a note on the fridge. They send a text message. They send an email. This is what's happening. This is what's happening within our homes, within our families. Why? Because we're not communicating anymore. And the less you communicate, the less you share your feelings, the further you will drift away. And the further you drift away, then the weaker the link will be, the weaker the strength will be of your family unit, and then the family will erode and it will dissipate, and you will no longer care for each other, love each other, or want to be with each other anymore. And this is exactly what's happening within our homes, and we need to prevent this from happening. As soon as you are away from your child, make sure you make an active effort to see them, to call them, to be with them, spend time with them. When you are home, make sure the TV is off, make sure everything else is off, and you sit with each other and you talk with each other, you share emotions, you share your feelings. Why is it that the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, he shared his most deepest and darkest secrets with his daughter Sayyidah Fatimah al-Zahra radiallahu ta'ala? And why is it? Because they had that connection, they had that bond, and they communicated. Our parents, you know, will never share anything with us, unfortunately. But this needs to change, because when we don't share, they will not share either. When the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, what did he share? His last thoughts, his last feelings with his daughter, not with his wife. Obviously with his wife as well, he did share a few things, but with his daughter, he shared it. He said, "I'm about to return back to my Lord," and she started crying. But then he reassured her and he said, "Don't worry, you'll be the first one to see me in Jannah again." Look at this emotion, look at this feeling, look at this sentiment, look at how the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, even at this moment in life, and in his time, he's still sharing with his wife and with his daughter. Whereas we'll say, "Dafa oja, what have you done for me all your life? You did shadi with such and such person, you did this, you ran away, you didn't listen to me, you didn't obey me," and then we push them further and further away. Don't look at the shortcomings and the failings of your children, because this is not what the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, ever did. Nor with any of the Sahaba Ikram, he never highlighted any of their mistakes and said, "You did this, you did this, you did that." No, he would always encourage them to do good. And from his own expressions, the people would understand whether he's happy, whether he's sorry, whether he's angry, whether he's frustrated. So you don't have to shout at your children, because the more you shout, the more they will ignore you. Express yourself calmly, beautifully, eloquently, and you will see that your children come nearer to you and closer to you. Look in the Quran how the prophets, they communicate with their children. Luqman alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives a beautiful example of Luqman alayhi salam. Ya bunayya la tushrik billah, inna shirka la zulman azim. That, "Oh my beloved son." So in Arabic there's walad. Walad basically means, you know, boy. So he doesn't call him his son, he goes, "Oi boy, puttaridya." He doesn't say like that. Bunayya. And bunayya is an endearment in the Arabic language. But my beloved son. This is how Luqman alayhi salam is talking to his son. "Oh my beloved son," look at the concern, the emotions and the feeling and how he's expressing them. "Oh my beloved son, la tushrik billah," that don't associate a partner with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But then he qualifies his statement. What do we do as parents? First of all, our approach is wrong. First of all, we shout at our children, "Oi idiya, teri aise kaise idiya, come here, I need to talk to you." This is wrong, first of all, straight away. Straight away the child is like, "Oh my God, that's it. I'm in trouble. I'll just stay quiet and let him shout." So our approach is wrong. And then he says, "La tushrik billah," that don't associate a partner with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? "Inna shirka la zulmun azim." He qualifies and he explains why you shouldn't associate. We give orders and ultimatums to our children. Itni jana, aini karna, ununi milna. But we don't qualify it. We don't give a reason or a logic behind our instructions. And until you don't do that, the child will not understand or appreciate where you're coming from and actually listen to you or respect what you are saying. So Luqman alayhi salam, he says, "Why? Inna shirka la zulmun azim." Without a doubt, the shirk is a great injustice to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Allah ta'ala is one, He is your creator. So how can you associate a partner with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So whenever you want to share something with your family, with your children, especially with your wife, don't shout, don't scream. Polite, courteous, beautiful manner, and then qualify your statements as well and give explanations so that they think, "Yes, you know, my father wants good for me, my mother wants good for me." They're not doing it for their own satisfaction so that the khandan will say, "Ha, maa pyo ne badi gal sunne, eh ho gaya, oh ho gaya." No, they listen to you because it's for the right reason. Why? Because your purpose is greater. You're trying to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and not please yourself. Coming back to the first statement that we made about pleasing
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he carries on and gives him further information about don't do this and don't do that. That even if you do something good, it may be so tiny, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will know that goodness that you have done. If you do something which is wrong and injustice, and you may hide it under a stone or in the deepest parts of the ocean, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will still bring it forth. So here he is giving advice, sincere advice to his son, achhe kam karo, bure kam na karo. This is the reason, that is the reason as well. You can send your children to the masjid, you can send your children to the lectures, and they can hear the imam saying, don't do this, interest is haram, this is bad, that is haram. But if a father sincerely sits down with his son, sits down with his daughter and says, beta, beti, I've never eaten haram my whole life. I've never taken interest my whole life. I'd rather have my hand cut off than take haram money. That will have a greater impact, and it will stay with your child for the rest of your life than a third person saying something to your child, don't do this or don't do that. So that personal touch, that communication is absolutely of paramount importance. And this is why the Prophet ﷺ would personally go to the Sahaba Ikram and share with them his feelings and his emotions and connect with them emotionally. And when you connect people with people emotionally, you win their hearts over, and that stays with them for the rest of their lives. The majority of your experiences that you will remember now from your childhood are emotional experiences. There won't be intellectual experiences or experiential. There'll be emotional ones, how you felt, what the smell was like, what the food tasted like, what the day was like, what the scenery was like. All of these things, these are emotional connections and bonds that you have. And if your father is holding your hand, imagine, he's looking into your eyes and he's sincere and tears are running down his eyes and say, putta, don't, my beta, don't ever take haram money. Don't ever consume haram money. That will stay ingrained within the child for the rest of their lives. So this is why it's very important that partnerships are crucial. And the first partnership between the spouse is important. And then communication is absolutely vital in order for a successful family unit to function in the society. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us all to understand all of the parameters that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has set forth within the Quran and in the noble life of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, and act and adopt all of these things that we have learned. These are not something which is new. This is part and parcel of how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created. Be polite, be courteous, communicate, be merciful towards each other, and work with each other. Because if you don't work with your parents, if you don't work with your children, then external people will work, and they'll work against you. They'll work to break your family up. They'll work to take their money, take their wealth, take their body. But you will work for them to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept everything that we have said. Inshallah, Al-Aziz, I'll join you again tomorrow. وقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم جزاكم الله خيرا.